Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham, a member of the Let's Trust team, and I want to thank you so much for being here today and joining together to say our health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you will ever make. I hope you get that. It's worth it, and you are so worth it. Whether you're venturing down this road for the first time or if you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. We're here to support you, learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, and hold each other accountable, whatever you need. We are a community. We are a tribe, as we love to call it here at Let's Truck. So you guys, how has your week been? Looking back, what makes you feel proud? What do you feel good about? What did you learn? You know, we want you to call in and share with us because I am just learning more and more, and I am so beyond humble and grateful more and more about this community that we have. I was even just Facebooking right now a message with Jeannie from Heart Smart Highway. Just, you know, these people are just so passionate about sharing and, helping all of us learn and be healthy and just more vibrant in life. And so you're a part of this, and I thank you for being here. So remember, we're taking questions, or we just want to hear, a story, a success story, or something you've learned, something you've experienced, maybe a challenge you're having, because, good God, over a week's time, you know, I always say ebb and flow, you know, things are, years are changing all the time. And so we have to learn to go with that and not let things completely fall apart, or, pick somebody else up that's going down the same path we are. So share that, okay? So press one. Brittany is working with me today on the soundboard, so glad to have her here. And Kevin's joining us as well. So this is going to be a fun show. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you guys ever have this week. Oh, you have to have these weeks where, you know, your head is just spinning. And I couldn't get a handle on it, and I was worried we weren't even going to have a show today. Kevin's like, let's do this. It's too important. And I'll tell you, this weekly show that we are doing, I feel like we're all together on this. I feel like it helps me keep on track, so I thank you for that. And we will not ever not do a show, no matter what, okay? So thank you for being here. So what I'm going to do today, I'll tell you, first of all, I'm going to start is that I had some homework leaving our show last week, and this was kind of fun. So, you know, we kind of take for granted this whole daylight savings time thing, don't we? I mean, we've all grown up with it. It's just, you know, come fall, we fall behind, spring, we spring ahead, and we don't give a whole lot of thought to it. Now, I did when my kids were little because they made me nuts, especially with the spring ahead without losing an hour. That was nuts. And Kevin posed the challenge to me to take a look a little bit deeper into it. And it, you guys, it's really fascinating. You probably will be shaking your head, like nodding it, thinking, yeah, I get it. So daylight savings time, actually, believe it or not, it started like in 1918. It started over in Germany. And it was actually repealed in 1919, and largely due because the agricultural industry lobbied against it because their actual schedules were disrupted. And that kind of makes sense, doesn't it, when you think of agricultural and just the whole schedule of the seasons and everything. And so, but 1966, it was brought back by what was called the Uniform Time Act. Everybody but Hawaii and Arizona opted out of it. So here's the problem, and it's more so with the spring ahead. And it's that 1 hour of lost sleep that makes such a difference in your sleep-wake pattern. You know, we would think 1 hour, you know, what's the big deal? We've lost 1 hour here and there. But it truly, truly does, and it's like that subtle type of effect on us, but not so subtle. They have research on this, and heart attacks actually rose by 25% on Mondays following the daylight savings time. Now, when we turn the clocks back, it was actually different. You know, it fell 21%. We gained that hour of sleep. Can you believe that? You know, daylight savings time actually kind of gifted us that hour of sleep, and we loved it, especially when it fell on, you know, of course, it always fell on the weekends. So it was just another hour weekend time. But heart attacks fell 21% on Mondays after that. Isn't that crazy? traffic accidents actually went up 8% on the Monday following daylight savings time, and a lot of that was having to do, again, they felt like people were fatigued and more tired. Workplace productivity fell because we were just plain tired. So, you know, again, it's one of those things that we just take for just the way it is, you know, because that's the way we've always lived. You know, it's supposed to conserve energy. That's what this was all about, with daylight savings time, was to help conserve energy. But what they've found nowadays, and you get this, people are not spending that extra time outside and enjoying the outside. They are actually spending it inside because air conditioning is more widespread. So it doesn't actually conserve energy because air conditioning takes up more energy. It's using more. So, again, you know, we're going to talk about this down the road, because I know you guys deal with this all the time, is sleep. You know, even if you have the hours that you can not be driving and sleep, especially if you're team drivers, trying to sleep while you're driving has got to be nuts. The older I get, I'm more protective of my sleep because I know I don't function very well without it. So anyways, I thought that was interesting. So there's my homework. The other one was fermenting. I am so beyond fascinated with this, but I haven't gotten started. I do have a quart-sized mason jar, and I have some distilled water to get started, but I haven't gone farther than that. So I would love to hear, actually, when Kevin comes on, I'd love to hear, like, what vegetables I should start with. I pretty much love all vegetables, so anything he recommends or you guys recommend for me to try and have all my family try with this, please share, because I think this is so important. This, you know, when Kevin was talking about paying attention to, you know, your gut, to your digestive, I think this is just so widespread. It's something simple we can all do that will make such a huge difference, and it'll be fun, you know, something interesting to try. And the third thing was the whole sardine thing, so that is not happening yet at all. So I do promise I will try that. I'll feel like that guy on the TV show with the crazy stuff that he eats. But yeah, I'll have Brittany witness me on this one and see if we get this one done. So when I was thinking about you guys going into the show today, I was thinking about diets, my thoughts on diets. You know, we're talking so much, Kevin sharing about the thing that was missing when he was doing the Atkins, and that was the added fat. And instantly when you think of fat, you think of that. There's so much good fat, and it's so important to our bodies. But it got me thinking just a little bit about diets. And I'll tell you, you know, there's so many different diets people are on, and I have been on about all of them, you guys. I'll tell you, over my life, you know, battling weight all my life, just tried just about everything. And I'll tell you, I hope you agree with this, you know, you get talking about, and again, I'm putting in quotes, diets, you know, things that have a name to it, like Atkins or the paleo or plant-based, all this kind of stuff. It's almost like talking politics or religion, you know, people are very passionate about it, and I get that, but this is what I know. I mean, and we are all so individual. No one diet is going to be, you know, can work 100% for somebody and be a complete flop for another person. So this show, and I hope we, you know, we'll always continue this, and I will stay committed to this, is that we will share information about what different diets are, just from an education and a learning standpoint. And you take it, and if it's something that speaks to your heart and something that you feel would work for you, that you want to try and see how your body reacts to it, then that's what it's about. There is no right or wrong as far as when we use the term diets. I hate that word, but it's more of the lifestyle thing. And this is what I think, the right diet for you is one you can stay on, one that works for you, one that makes you feel good and vibrant, also it makes your numbers good and your life in general good. So please know that when we share information about certain diets out there, it is strictly from an informational standpoint and for all of us to learn. And again, still share what works for each of us. Hey, this works for me, and I'm going to keep doing it. I want to share it, but with the knowledge that it might not be for everyone. So keep learning. I'll say this over and over again. Get fascinated with all things that make you the most healthy, vibrant, and fun you to enjoy life. And we're going to be on the proactive stance with this. I like where we're going with this, with continuing to learn natural and simple ways to be our best selves. So before we get going here, too, I want to share one more really exciting thing. You guys, Mass is right around the corner and a couple weeks here. And Tom Kirk and Linda Caffey shared with me, they put out a press release here, and they are going to be actually hosting the first Cooking in the Truck Summit. So any of you going to Mass, I hope you search this out, okay? The event's going to be held on March 26th at 8 p.m., in the Papa John's lot, okay? And it's, again, it's called the Cooking on the Summit. And this is what I'm talking about with this whole community of here, people that want to share and teach others. The purpose of the summit is this: discuss ways to encourage and promote cooking in the truck, share ideas on storage and cooking ideas, discuss ways to work with various companies in the trucking industry to help them understand your needs. Okay, so anyone interested cooking in the truck or grilling outside, you are welcome to attend. They are just open arms here. So I'm reading from their press release here. Everyone is encouraged to submit pictures and a brief description of their favorite cooking appliances as well as storage solutions for their life on the truck. They have a Facebook page, Cooking in the Truck Summit, as well as Tom's site, roadtestingliving.com. So many resources. I'm hoping Tom will be on today, too, to just share a little bit more with you guys, because they are so passionate about this, and they are so welcoming and open, and we love sharing this information on Destination Health. So we'll get to share a little bit more about that. So anybody going to Mass, be sure and reserve March 26th at 8 p.m. at the Papa John's lot. I think that's going to be pretty exciting there. So with that, you guys, I want to go in here and bring on Kevin. It so encouraged me to keep going with the show today and talk about all things that will make all of us better. So welcome, Kevin.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me again. And that, you know, what a great segue, because I was just sitting here finishing lunch and thinking, I want to share a few things that I've been trying. And one of the things, I have, you know, a pretty decent kitchen in the RV. But one of the things I've been doing this week is not using, other than the refrigerator, I'm not using the stove or the cooktop or the microwave or anything in the RV. I'm only cooking on things that I could carry in the truck. So I've got a small electric induction cooktop, which I love, little single burner induction cooktop. Mm-hmm. I've got a Smokey Joe barbecue grill, and I've got a really small Traeger smoker. Now, you might not be able to get all three of them on the truck, but I could, honestly, depending on what other stuff you have, and you might have to build a little custom storage. But if I were on the truck, I would carry all three of these. So this is I've been cooking on all week. Yeah, just to let people know and to share. And I know that I've seen some great ideas being shared out there. So earlier this week, I got up in the morning, and I knew I had about 2 hours worth of work before I was going to even hit the road or do anything else. So the other day when I was in a Whole Foods, I found they had a sale on pastured chickens. Now, I learned a lot about the words they use for chickens and eggs the other day. Cage-free means almost mm-hmm. nothing, and free-range means almost nothing. So all of those words could still be birds that are raised in these huge operations inside of a building with no real natural diet. They're just eating whatever they're being fed. It just means they're not kept in a cage. But they could be kept in a box it's indoors, and it's not a real natural way that a chicken was raised. The word pastured means that not only is the bird outside, but they have a minimum square foot per bird in order to use that. So you take the whole field that they're being kept in, divide the square footage by the number of birds, and they have to have 1,086 square feet per bird to be called pastured. That's quite a bit of room for a chicken.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I like that.
I know. The good news is if they're outside, eating bugs and they're eating seeds and they're getting sunshine. And that is a really natural organic bird. Now, normally, they're pretty pricey. The other day, they had them in Whole Foods and they were $3.29 a piece. Now, I bought as many as I could get into my cart and then took everything else out of the freezer so I could keep as many of these things as I could at that price. So that's a side note. The other morning what I did was on my induction cooktop, I put the whole chicken and gizzards, everything, just put it all in the pot, covered it with some filtered water, threw in whatever vegetables I had around at the time, some carrots and some onions and some garlic, brought it to a boil just to set the temperature, and then lowered it to a simmer, a real, real low simmer, and let it sit there for about an hour and a half. And it is some of the best chicken you will eat. The meat is like silky and moist. I let it sit for a little bit, bone it all. Now, if I was really ambitious, I would have then taken the bones and actually made a bone stock, but I needed to get on the road. So this time the bones got thrown away. The meat gets all put into bags. So if you're not going to eat it all, you can freeze some. I eat it all in a couple days. So, but the other thing is I take the stock that's left in the pot, and I don't strain it. I don't skim off the fat. I don't do anything to it except pour it into those same quart mason jars that I use for fermenting. So they get like double and triple duty on the truck. And then this morning, breakfast for me was I poured some broth into another quart mason jar so I don't have to have any other dishes. I threw in some of the chicken meat, warmed that up, took some of my fermented vegetables, some cauliflower and some Brussels sprouts. After I warmed it up, I put those in. Now, I warmed it up to maybe 120, 130, nice comfortable temperature to eat and not enough to kill any of the good stuff in there. And then I even threw in a handful of my sprouts, which are super easy to grow on the truck. And then I seasoned it. I like a lot of crushed red pepper, and I threw in some jalapenos, and it was amazing soup. Because I didn't strain it, the fat gives it some body, and it was just really satisfying. So that was breakfast. Diesel gets, you know, some of the scraps, and he loves it too. So, and then lunch just now, all stuff I made on the truck. Fresh cucumber and some hummus that I made, and an avocado and some of my fermented pickles. So breakfast is kind of heavy on the protein and the fat. Lunch is really kind of carbohydrate heavy, but not grains and sugar carbohydrates, just vegetable carbohydrates, cucumbers, pickles, avocado, hummus. Still quite a bit of fat between the hummus and the avocado, but, you know, really good healthy fats and enough carbohydrates that, you know, I'm getting what I need. Everything was made on the truck, and there isn't a single processed food anywhere on the list.
Mm, that's awesome. I want to back up to the pasteurized, why you went looking for that chicken. What are the benefits of that, and why would somebody want to go and search that out?
The nutritional level of the meat. That's one thing that doesn't get talked about much. You know, there's always been the argument, is organic really better? And there are a lot of groups that try to convince you that it's not. And they point to things like the pesticides they use are proven to be safe. They wash right off. There's no, you know, they don't permeate the vegetables. So why not just eat conventional vegetables? Because I don't want a bunch of chemicals on my food. You can tell me it's safe, but they've told me a lot of things are safe. But then the next thing is the nutritional value. And when we talk about animals, the animal is only going to be as nutritious as the food it eats. And when we talk about giant operations where they're raising any kind of animal, pigs, cattle, chicken, they're crammed in. They're getting the cheapest, mass-produced, processed food you could imagine. Because that's the whole point of these operations, is to maximize profit. They're not going to give them good food to eat. They're going to give them the cheapest, overprocessed stuff. And guess what? We're trying so hard not to eat processed food in our own diet. But the animals we're eating are eating some of the worst food you could imagine.
Yeah.
So we need to seek out animals that have been raised on a healthy diet, just like we want to eat. And pastured animals are eating what nature intended them to eat, bugs and grasses and, you know, all the stuff that's good for them, all the stuff that was, you know, is getting its energy from the sunshine. It's natural. It's not overprocessed. That just makes, and I got to tell you, the taste is, there's just no comparison. Pastured chickens taste like chickens. They're not this bland, you know, bird with, you know, 8-pound breasts because they've been, you know, genetically bred to have big breast meat. You know, they're not really leaner, but they're cleaner, I think is the word that I like. But they have more chicken flavor. You don't have to over-season them. I mean, when I take them out of just the poaching liquid and just eat the meat with no seasoning, it just tastes so much better.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that I think we've kind of like full circle with this, and we've grown up with this, and you know, the industrial farming has kicked in, but it just slowly became part of what we had. And until you back up and have, like what you said, you find some meat that was not industrial farmed, that was fed good food, you do get a different taste. You get a different feel, period, for everything about that eating experience, period. I encourage everybody to go. If you haven't watched the movie Food, Inc., watch it. It was an eye-opener to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, the other thing I'll warn people about, not so much chicken, but beef. If you're used to the typical commercial beef that we eat, and you go get good grass-fed, pastured beef, it will taste gamey to you. And that is, I believe, an acquired taste. It's like people that are afraid to eat elk or even lamb. Lamb, people say, oh, it's so gamey. Well, that's because lamb has hardly ever been commercially grown in these big operations. Lamb, most lamb farms have always been kind of natural, grass-fed, and that's that gamey flavor that people talk about. To me, that's flavor. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. But I know for some people in the beginning, it turns them off a little bit. So just be forewarned. You're going to go eat pastured beef or lamb or bison. The flavor tends to be a little gamey to some people.
Okay. But like you said, I mean, just the fact you're eating clean. And the side benefit to that, not the side benefit, but you're usually buying local, or I would think, since we got talking about this, I wanted to go search out a website, and maybe Brittany will go look for it for me. There are websites out there that are for, like, a local harvest and that kind of stuff, you know, like farm markets around. There's got to be some type of website that for everybody on the road, when they need to restock, because what I've learned from everybody sharing with me, those that are out for a long time can usually carry like 2 weeks of prepared food and that kind of stuff. So then they have to go search for it. There's got to be a website out there to based on where, you know, they might be stopping for the night or on their part of their route, that they can search out some local farms or butchers or someplace to find some good poultry and beef, you know. There's got to be a website out there for that. So
While we're talking, I was just on one the other day before I left, so that would have been either Monday or Tuesday. I'm going back in my history. Because I was looking, I deal with a couple farms locally already. Last summer I belonged to a pork CSA. CSA is community-supported agriculture. So the way CSAs work is they usually have a season, and you buy into the CSA at the beginning of the season, and you either pay up front or pay so much each month, and you commit to it, almost like a subscription, and every month you get part of the harvest, whatever it might be. And you can't be picky. You can't go in and say, I want 6 beets and no carrots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get you know, so many pounds or so many baskets each week or however each CSA is set up, But the beauty of the system is because the farmers know before the season what their demand is, it helps them control their costs. They don't overplan
right.
or underplan, and it's so much easier for them to manage. And, you know, these are usually small husband and wife operations many times. They might have a couple employees. But this food is grown with, you know, so much love and care, and these people are so passionate
right.
about their food. And every week I would meet with them, and you know, last year I had a produce CSA, I had a pork CSA, a chicken CSA. This year I'm leasing a cow. I just love supporting these kind of businesses and farms. And I love the food
yeah.
that I get from them, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it actually, Brittany found it. It's called localharvest.org. You can actually sign up for email notifications of this, too. So it might be kind of interesting for you, you know, especially if you guys have dedicated routes and so forth, that you can find places and get to know the people. And how cool would that be? I'd love to hear some feedback on this if anybody tries this. I also just texted
yeah.
my husband Jeff. We're going to be moving to Tampa area this summer. So I know in Akron, I've looked in these CSAs before, and my one daughter that doesn't live in our home, we were going to split like a CSA. You can do that. There's things you can do, and just we never made it happen. And I think how fun would those be? You know, to get vegetables or other produce that you don't even know existed, and you get the box and you got to
okay.
figure out what to do with them.
That one that Brittany found is a good one. I've got another one that I really like, and this was the one that I was on earlier this week. It's called eatwild.com.
Eatwild.com, okay.
Yeah, and it has lots of different resources as far as finding local grass-fed meats, but it's also got articles and recipes and all kinds of stuff. But it's
yeah.
mostly about you know, getting back to the way we always used to raise vegetables and animals. And, you know, we always think that, you know, our health problems are because of, you know, we're not as active as we used to be. That you hear that a lot. And that certainly has something to do with it. Or that we're eating too much fat. Or we're eating too much sugar. Or we're eating it. And, you know, it's not that simple. And one of the things that doesn't get a lot of talk nationally, you've got to go look for this information, is that many of these health problems started when we started mass farming, these big industrial
yeah.
farms, and overprocessing the food. And it really
mm-hmm.
changed
yeah.
everything. Even though that a steak still looks like a steak, a chicken still looks like a chicken, they're not the same meat that we used to
mm-mm.
raise 80 years ago.
No. And, you know, God, for our kids' sakes, too, you know, all these hormones that are put in meat and stuff, it's scary. So,
yeah.
Just as we talk about eating simple and eating as close to natural as possible, you know, we think of vegetables and stuff, but we got to think of our meats. We got to think of our meats that we're eating.
Yeah. You know, I still don't eat a lot of meat, but I am eating more meat than I was, you know, for quite some time. But I am making sure it is the best stuff I can find. And the prices
yeah.
are sometimes insane. But I find that I eat less of it anyway. It's a better product. It's more satisfying. And I look at the price and go, wow, do I really need a 16-ounce steak? That's insane. You know, 6 ounces of beef. If you've got 6 ounces of beef and enough vegetables and, you know, some beans or whatever, I am more than satisfied, and I enjoy every single bite of that beef.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about the diets and, you know, plant-based, and we were talking about that before, and we do. It's a whole shift in thinking of that protein, and I know I grew up with, you know, okay, you thought of, okay, what's your meat first, and then what are the side dishes?
Right.
So if you switch
yeah.
it around and the protein, the meat is like the accessory, oh my gosh, these vibrant vegetables and that you can have with it. And then you have some protein with it, you know, whether poultry or pork or meat, and have it be good, have it be a really good quality. Oh my gosh. What we do this on purpose about and, you know, it's 4 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast here. It's 4 o'clock, so we're getting close to dinner time. So
that's right.
Brittany and
that's
we go and have dinner after the show. So yeah, so it's a whole different way of looking about at your meal and your plate. So yeah.
Well, and here's another thing that traditionally has changed. If you look back, not so much in American food, but if you look back in most cultures and most ethnic food, two things they did very differently around meat that we just don't do much of anymore. And I'm really getting back to this. One, they ate the whole animal. They ate every part of that thing. They ate the brains, the organs, the feet, the literally every part of it. Now, that freaks a lot of Americans out. They just, because we haven't been raised on that, that freaks them out. But all of those organs and parts, one, it's more economical to do that. That was the biggest reason they did it. But there's also a lot of nutritional benefits from doing that. Those organs are, like, loaded with nutrition. So now it's kind of, now it's becoming chic. You know, we don't do it every day, but there are restaurants now, like very high-end, crazy expensive restaurants, that's their whole theme is whole animal. They make all kinds of wild dishes out of every piece. But it's crazy expensive when it should be the opposite. These are the cheap cuts. This is the stuff people throw away. And it makes such good food when you learn how to eat it. So, and then something else that we've gotten away from that most cultures, and you just talked about this, in most cultures, meat was almost considered a seasoning, not the main dish. I mean, they would use sausage and things like that to flavor dishes. They would use parts of the bones and some of the scraps to flavor broths. It wasn't the center of the plate the way it is in this country. So when we hear all these evils about too much meat and too much saturated fat, well, yeah, it's because we're eating a 16-ounce steak and a baked potato and three pieces of iceberg lettuce with a commercially processed dressing on it.
Right.
That's not healthy. But it's not the meat or the fat that was the culprit. It's the whole picture we have to look at.
So this is cool, Kevin, with you being on the road now, and I love how you're using some appliances that translate to everybody on the road. How, taking this conversation about that, like looking for some good local meat and so forth, where am I going with this? You know, how can we make this so that, because I know that's one of the biggest, when we did the survey with our CNC fabulous people and we put out the whole Let's Truck, the cooking on the truck and being able to prepare on the truck, where do you see we can translate this to you know, just support our whole healthy lifestyle for everybody to make it easier and simple?
Yeah, I'm going to be checking out the challenges of buying farm direct now that I'm on the road. I've been in Oregon. Oregon is the epicenter for this kind of stuff, by the way. The Pacific Northwest primarily, but Oregon and Portland and that whole area, that's where this movement is almost normal. I mean, this is nothing new to them. It's no big deal. So it's easy for me to find virtually anything I want. The other day, and speaking of price, the other day, Chelsea was coming over right before I was getting ready to leave, and she texted me, and she said, hey, do you need anything from the store? And I said, yeah, if you could, stop in and see if they have the raw milk and grab me a half gallon. And she did, and she came in, and she said, do you know this stuff is $7 for a half gallon? And I said, yeah, I know, it's expensive. She's like, you got to be kidding me. And she said, I just drink whole glasses of this. And I said, I know, you should. If you're going to drink milk, it's good. But she said, but I could never afford that. And I said, well, that's why you have to manage your money better and set priorities. Because, yeah, it might be crazy, but you know what? Health is that important. I don't drink a ton of milk, but if I'm going to drink milk, I'm going to drink the best possible milk I can get. And that's what it is, and it's, if you buy it from the store, it is $6 or $7 a half gallon. Now, finding the farms on the road, that's a new challenge I'm going to be taking on right now. I will probably need some supplies in 3 or 4 days, so I'm going to start looking now where I'm going to be. But here's the thing that you can almost always count on, as long as you're willing to pay the price, and that is the natural markets, Whole Foods being the big one, but there are more regional chains popping up all the time. They have all of this stuff. They have pastured beef. They have pastured chickens. They have, you know, the better dairy products and the better quality meats and all different levels. You know, you can get organic. Even the other day I was in Whole Foods. They are now doing this thing with the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I won't remember it exactly, but the higher the number, the closer this is to the most natural way things could be raised. Like 1 is organic, and then 2 is grass-fed, I think, for the beef and the chickens, and or not grass-fed for the chickens, but grass-fed for the beef and a natural feed for the chickens. And then 3 is another level above that. And then 4th is like, this is just as good as it's going to get. This would be like having your own cow in your backyard kind of thing. So they even explain it very clearly. And you get to pick which level you want to buy this stuff at. And just be prepared. If you want that top level, you're going to pay for it. But the good news is I can get it almost anywhere in the country. I mean, I can find a Whole Foods just about everywhere nowadays.
Right, right. Huh.
So my plan is to seek out these farms and the local, and anytime I see, you know, local produce stands, I'll stop at those. And then on those dry times where I just can't find something, I'll run to Whole Foods and not buy a ton, but I'll buy enough maybe to get me to the next place.
That's really, you know, Kevin, you were talking about you driving across the country and finding these places. You know, I think about our Facebook group, the Turk and Runners, you know, where they, I love that group, and we're going to have some of these guys on here to share all that they do on the road. But they, and so with the ride and cycle, they'll say where they're going to stop for, you know, a truck stop or something, where's a good trail to run. I mean, I think we need to be sharing information about when you're stopping someplace, like here, go visit this place, you know, get your meat here or get some vegetables here from a local place. I think that would just be really, really cool for everybody out there to share. We got to find a venue for that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna grab some questions out here because we've got some people on here, and all you guys that are on board here and just joining our chat, I just feel like we're gonna be driving down the road and chatting here. So, if it's okay with you, I'd love to grab some questions. Does that sound good?
Absolutely, let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna go here to David. We're in Ohio. You're in my country here, David.
That's what I heard. She said she was up in Akron. I got to tell you, I was excited when I was listening to Kevin earlier. Oh, go ahead.
Where are you driving at right now?
I'm on my way to get to the other side of Indianapolis. I got to drop off a load, and I'll wind up in Fort Wayne at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking your time and listening to us and, you know, coming on to share. So what would you like to share, David?
Well, so this is the first show that I've listened to. I've been trying to figure out how to do the podcast thing. You know, I'm not big on podcasting, but I've listened to the shows that I missed of Kevin's, and I was listening to where he was talking about the hummus and the vegetables. And I got excited about getting healthy again. I'm a guy that eats like 4 hot dogs a day, sandwich, just all kinds of crap. You know, I used to be a linebacker, 220 pounds. You know, and I'm 300 pounds. So this is the week I decided to make a change. I bought a party tray of mixed vegetables. I think I'll probably next week throw away the sauce and do hummus like he's saying. But I was excited because I bought just a frozen bag of mixed vegetables and a frozen bag of cooked chicken. And I'm listening to you guys. You guys are living the high life, it sounds like.
Hey, let me address that, because that is a great point, and I need to address this more often. You know, I'm that typical overachiever. When I get passionate about something, I'm going to go find the absolute best way to do it, and then I'm going to keep improving and improving Yeah, I didn't start here. I didn't start with pastured beef and growing my own sprouts and fermenting my own vegetables. But I share that just to let people know that over time, you can get there even on the truck and even with our lifestyle on the road. And that's why I was kind of excited about, you know, I'm back out on the road and I'm doing it again. But look, if you're eating the typical American diet, which most people have been, just switching to any vegetable-based diet is good. And then the other thing I say is, you know, in the beginning, don't worry about the beef and the chicken you're eating. Just cut down on the amounts. Don't worry about, is it the best I can find? And, you know, try to introduce good foods that you haven't been eating before. I don't like the approach of saying, I can't drink soda anymore. Instead of saying I can't drink soda anymore, I'd rather say I'm going to replace one soda a day with water or, you know, a good probiotic drink. We've talked about those before. And then after a couple weeks of that, I'm going to replace one more soda every day with just some water. And I'm going to replace that bag of chips that I normally eat once a day with an avocado and some natural pickles if I can find them, or just the avocado and, you know, whatever it might be. So don't overdo this in the beginning, and don't worry about if you're doing it to the same level somebody else might be. All we're really looking is for each person to improve a little bit each week from what they were doing before. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I agree with you with the water. I'm still too much on the iced tea. My goal was no more than one 22-ounce can of 22 Arizona iced tea. Everything else is water. And if I work at night, I switch from the iced tea to an energy drink. But I used to drink 3-4 energy drinks or, you know, 64 ounces of sugared iced tea. So that makes sense to me. But we need a starting point,
you know,
on vegetables, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I love, and I do this all the time too, I grab the pre-cut, pre-packaged vegetables because they're convenient. And honestly, in many times, I will grab a commercially made hummus. So if I have time, I make my own. But I'll look at the ingredients. And if there are ingredients on that label that I don't have in my own kitchen, then I'll usually skip that. And, you know, let me grab one that I've got in my refrigerator right now. I always keep some around just in case I don't have time to make. So here's what's in the hummus that's in my kitchen. It's got garbanzo beans, check. I've got those in my kitchen. It's got chipotle peppers, check. I've got some of those. It's got sesame seed paste, which is tahini. Yep, I've got that in my refrigerator. It's got lemon juice, salt, and garlic. Yep, I've got all those. This is exactly how I would make it. No weird chemicals, no ingredients that I can't pronounce or don't know what they are. And it's easy. I open it up, dip the vegetables in, and I've got a great snack when I'm driving down the road.
So those are the type of ideas that I'm hoping that if we tune in, it's every week, this show?
Yes.
Yep,
Kim is doing this every Friday, and she's always got great stuff.
Like a starting point for the dummy like me.
You dialed into the show, and you pressed one, and you said you want to share, because that was such a great point. I think so many people, you know, you think of organic, you think of it being more expensive, but what you're going to find when you start going that way with the cleaner eating and so forth, you will end up eating sometimes more vegetables and so forth, and it balances itself out, where before we were more meat-heavy or protein-heavy. And I think you'll find, but it's going to be a learning process. You're going to have to find things that work for you. Number one thing Kevin said that I absolutely loved is look at those ingredients, David. If it's something you don't recognize, just, you know, go on and look for something else. So get. I always love the word fascinated. Get fascinated with it, because this is for you. This is for your health. Love the learning point of this, and it will be a learning process, and pretty soon you'll find those few things. You know, we all of us have, if you look at our week of eating, we have our you know, maybe 5 or 6 go-tos, you know, that you can count on, and you're going to find that, and you're going to find things that are going to be a little bit healthier, just like you're doing already with the tea. You're finding something you're still enjoying some of it that you have, and then you're finding others to complement it. And you'll find that more on the healthier side as you start venturing into being very intentional about it. So I applaud you. I applaud you up and down. So.
Yeah, and, you know, another idea on the tea, as I was listening to you explain that, the tea itself is not bad. You know, tea and coffee have kind of been vilified, but there's nothing wrong with those. Those are both natural substances. They have micronutrients in them. They have antioxidants in them. It's the way we normally prepare them that starts to make them bad. We put in artificial sweeteners or a ton of sugar or fructose, corn syrup, or the coffee creamers are nothing but a bunch of chemicals and sugar. And if we eliminate those, go back to drinking black coffee, iced coffee, I love sometimes in the summertime, or just plain iced tea that, you know, doesn't have anything else added. It's just the tea. And I know in the beginning, that's a little tough to take, but it's an acquired taste, and you can break that sugar habit over time. So you might not have to cut out as much of the iced tea as you are. You just might have to seek out just plain iced tea with absolutely nothing added to it.
That's the battle I'm having with TA and Pilot. I would like to find more of these sugar-free type iced teas instead of brewing. Like they started brewing, only Pilot, I think, has it, the brewed sugar-free tea.
Yeah, and just be careful with the word sugar-free, because most of the time on packaged goods, that means that some other artificial sweetener was put in. I think you're saying it the right way. I mean, you mean it the right way, is that it's just tea and they didn't add anything.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
And that's really what you're looking for. We don't want the artificial sweeteners. Those are all poison. There are a couple natural sweeteners on the market that are a little better than sugar. Glucose is one. It's usually called dextrose. Dextrose is just a pure, simple sugar, a one-molecule sugar. It's only about 70% as sweet as sugar is, but it doesn't give you that blood sugar spike. Another one is usually marketed under names like xylitol, which sounds like some crazy chemical. I always thought it was. Turns out xylitol is totally natural. It's what's called a sugar alcohol, or an alcohol sugar. And again, it's only about 60 or 70% as sweet, but it has no blood sugar effect whatsoever. So, and again, I found both of those for pretty reasonable prices. I found both dextrose and xylitol at Whole Foods. And, you know, a package lasts a long time because I don't use much sugar in anything anyway. But just look for those. They're all non-GMO. They're not modified. They're all natural. And that will be a way to kind of break that sugar habit over time.
Well, let me ask you one last question. Breaking away from hot dogs and all that junk food, on the third day of just eating vegetables and had oat bran for breakfast, I got shaky on the third day in the evening. Is that like getting off drugs or something, or what's that all about?
It is like getting off drugs, because a lot of the foods you've been eating are toxic to your body. They just are. And the one thing I tell people is listen to your body. A little bit of shakiness, the mild headache, no big deal. If it's really negatively affecting you, then maybe you're just pushing a little too hard. And as crazy as it sounds, maybe go back to a little bit of the junk food and wean yourself off a little slower and learn to listen to your body, which it sounds like you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey,
David,
how are you on drinking water through all that?
Well, I'm drinking probably about, if I had to guess, probably around 60 ounces of water and that 22-ounce can of iced tea in a day.
Okay.
Is that too much?
I think that helps a lot with the detoxing. That helps a little bit. Yeah, because it really is. That's what you're doing. You know, you're just getting rid of some bad stuff, and it stinks having to go through that, but you'll come out the other side. But stay hydrated. When you're feeling bad, get some water and try to walk around a little bit.
But the one benefit I found is it really cleans you out at the end of the day. You feel a whole lot better. cleaner.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
You will. And that'll just keep getting better and better. And honestly, like I said, I've been at this probably coming up on 3 months now. And I am reaching levels that I didn't even know existed as far as feeling good and energy and mental clarity is something I didn't expect. I am just thinking better. And that one surprised me. That one just came right out of the blue. I wasn't, you know, I was expecting to feel physically better, but I'm mentally more clear. I'm remembering things better. I'm more creative, which is good for me. On that detox side, if you get a chance, one of the best ways your body detoxes is by sweating. And most people don't sweat enough anymore intentionally. You know, when you're really overweight, sometimes just walking through the parking lot will make you sweat. But you take advantage of sweating every chance you get, whether it's wearing some extra clothes when you go for that walk during the day so you build up some body heat. If you can get to a sauna once in a while, maybe at a hotel or a gym, if you can do that, sweating and a lot of water are a really good way to detoxify and help you get over some of those side effects.
Okay.
Way
all
to
right,
go,
thank
David.
You.
Way to go. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to have... Oh, I forgot what... You know, I didn't even ask where Melissa was. We're going to go to Melissa because she had a question here. Melissa, where are you guys?
I'm in Washington. We're in Washington.
Okay. So thanks for calling in, Melissa. So what was your question? You had a question about water.
Yeah. Okay, so I listened to the book Effortless Healing. And first of all, my head is spinning. Oh, my gosh. There's just so much information in that book. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm trying to do it one step at a time. But I am an overachiever. So I can't – I don't want to just drink water. I want to drink the right water. So actually what I wanted to do is tell you what I figured out for drinking water on the road. You tell me what you think. I bought some Brita water filters that have the carbon filter right in the top. So I got some of those for tap water. And I was looking at bottled water, and you can get a lot of bottled water that's, you know, it's BPA-free, the bottle is. And Dasani actually filters their water through reverse osmosis, and then they put the minerals back in it. So tell me, what do you think about something like that?
You know, I did the same thing, read that book, and thought, oh, my God, I didn't know there was so much to know about water. So water is kind of an interesting thing where I'm from, Cascade Locks, and Melissa, you've been there. Nestle has been trying to build a bottling plant in our town for years because the water quality is so amazing. One of the ways to measure water quality is just total dissolved solids, TDS. Now, it doesn't necessarily tell us what the solids are, but it seems to me like I'm more interested in getting my minerals and micronutrients and that from the food, and I'd like to get my water as pure as I can. Distilled water is actually about as pure as you're ever going to get it, because really everything's been distilled out. So that's one way. I have the zero water pitcher, and it even comes with the little meter that registers dissolved solids for you, and it doesn't matter what you pour through that thing. It comes out zero at the other end, no dissolved solids at all. It's got a 5-stage filter, so it's really very close to distilled water. Now, the average in the U.S., if you were to go around and test all the municipal water, which they did, the average total dissolved solids is 400 parts per million, and nobody seems to even get concerned unless it goes over 1,000 parts per million. Now, the water coming out of our faucet at home, no filtering whatsoever, is around 30 parts per million. It's absolutely amazing clean water. But I put it through the zero water filter anyway, which is what I'm using on the road now, because I never know where, you know, I get my water from RV parks and the Flying J, you know, island, and so I run that stuff through this filter, and it comes out zero. So I think Dasani, when I drink bottled water, Dasani is what I drink because they do use reverse osmosis and then they do put the minerals back in, so it tastes good. But after reading that book, I started thinking along the lines of, I would just like to get it either distilled or filtered down to zero and then get my minerals someplace else.
Still there?
Yep.
Okay. It gargled for a second. Okay, so Dasani water you think is good, and then I lost you after that.
Okay. Then, but after reading the book and thinking, you know, do I really want my minerals being put back in? Because who knows what they're using? I mean, are they using, like, the cheapest form of calcium or whatever it is they're putting back in? And I started thinking, I would just rather get my minerals from the food. And I want to drink my water as pure as possible, which actually the easiest way to do that on the road is distilled water if you're going to buy bottled.
Okay. So what do you think about the Brita? It's a portable water bottle with a filter in the top, a carbon filter in the top.
I think those are great. I think any filtering we do of the water is probably a good thing. I have the Zero Water pitcher, and I don't know if Zero Water makes water bottles or not, but I might go look for one. The pitcher works pretty well for
me. Yeah, I think...
It wouldn't work so good on the truck. It's got a lousy top, and it would leak and that kind of stuff.
I'll
okay.
have to look at the Zero right, bottle, cool. too. Denny Ward out at CMC had recommended the Zero water bottle that Bed Bath & Beyond sells as well.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
The Zero water is it's not just a carbon filter, it's a five-stage filter. As far as I've found on the market, it's the most thorough filtering you can get, you know, in a portable unit like that.
Okay, cool. And I'm about to stop in Spokane in about an hour. And I found a little country store that's right near the Petro there. And they have, you know, because it's Washington, they have, like, raw milk and cheese and stuff like that. So I'm going to go check that out today. So I'll let you know on that.
Oh, absolutely. Washington is one of those states that really gets it.
Yeah.
And they allow raw. You know, it's so crazy when you think about this that the crazy kind of chemicals we allowed into our food supply. And the fact that we allow anywhere you go, you can eat raw fish. And I'm okay with that. I love sushi. I'm learning to stay away from the tuna because of what I've learned, but I stick to salmon. But we allow raw fish, but we won't allow raw dairy products. Why not? That's crazy. Nobody's ever died. I went and looked. It's like unheard of that somebody dies from raw dairy products, but people have died from lettuce being contaminated, green onions being contaminated,
right.
Just about every produce you can think of. Out of these giant industrial farms, we can be poisoned by them, but you have to be a crack dealer if you want to sell raw milk. You got to do it illegally on the corner. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's actually a good website if you want to find raw dairy products. This is where I found this little market. It's rawmilk.com.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I
they
use
tell
it
you
all the time.
Yeah. They tell you all over the country where you can get raw milk and cheese and stuff, and they even actually tell you about the laws. A funny thing that I figured out from the website is Arizona, their law is they can sell the raw milk and cheese, but it has to be for your pet.
Yeah.
So I have to go
you know
to a pet store in Arizona.
Yeah. You know how bad this has gotten and how ridiculous this is? I'm pretty sure I read this on rawmilk.org or .com, the website you're talking about. I was looking, you know, around me to see where I could go get some the other day, and there was a warning up there, but it wasn't for the people looking to buy milk. It was a warning for the farmers who wanted to be listed on their site. And the warning was there are insurance companies that are going through the site and finding out that if you're selling raw milk and you're one of their customers, they're canceling your insurance policy.
Oh, my God.
How ridiculous could this get? I mean, seriously, we don't deal with drug dealers like that.
That's insane.
Unbelievable.
Oh, and I never really noticed this before, but actually Walmart sells a whole lot of organic products. I never looked for it because I never even knew, but Walmart has a whole lot of organic stuff for anybody that's looking for something easy. You can get a lot of organic
stuff
at Walmart.
Very good point. That's right.
Yeah, that's sweet, Melissa. We met with Lisa. We were, Lisa and Brittany and I, and we're brainstorming on Monday, and that's one of Lisa's big show we want to do. We want to do the going to Walmart and, like, laying out different things you guys can do there and putting together some meals, because Walmart, and that's what we found, too, in the survey, is how many shops on the road at Walmart. They offer some really good products for you.
They actually do. I was pretty surprised.
Nice. Well, thanks, Melissa, so much for answering, because that was a huge thing. We were talking about that a few weeks ago about water on the road, and I had asked and wanted to hear, like, how you guys do it, whether you buy the bottle or if you use a Brita filter. So that's neat to hear that that's what you do, too. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to check out that zero one, too.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. Thanks, Melissa.
Yep.
You guys be safe. Bye now.
Bye.
Going back to Ohio here, we have Herschel here in Ohio. Hi, Herschel. How are you doing?
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Oh, okay. Well, as far as the water thing goes, I'm now day two with nothing but water. I kicked the Coke out. I'm not drinking any more. Heck with it.
Oh, my goodness. So, you were a big Coke drinker?
Well, I used to be. There was a time, and I've always come home every day, there was a time I would take six to work, and I'd come back with an empty cooler. I got it down to where I had one can and one coffee in the morning. I decided I'm going to keep my coffee and got rid of the Coke. So now it's just water, 70 or 80 ounces a day. So that's getting
close
to it.
Excellent. That is, you know, for some people that might sound like no big deal that, so, you know, you're drinking more water. It is probably one of the most crucial first changes you can make. It really is. The amount of sugar and chemicals you just eliminated from your diet, it will be life-changing if that's the only change you make. Now, the coffee, you know, I say that I'm you know, all I drink is water and everything else is optional. Because for me, I drink my coffee black. To me, that's just water. I mean, it really is. It's 99%
yes.
water and a little bit of dissolved coffee. And coffee is good for you. So I was a one cup a morning, really high quality, extra dark roast, full bodied. Now that I'm on the road, I drink two a day because I drink one in the morning when I get up. And then I said, you know, I usually end up working 6 to 8 hours between doing my shows, running the company, answering emails, all that stuff. And then I get on the road after working 6 or 8 hours. And you know what? A cup of coffee makes me feel a whole lot better when I'm driving. So I'm now at two cups a day, and I am just fine with that. I don't think there's any problem with that at all.
Well, I just do the one cup in the morning. Go ahead, Kim.
Did you go through any challenges when you were getting off that? How did you feel? And how did you get through it?
Really, I just decided that I kind of did what Kevin said long before I ever heard Kevin say it. I started, instead of taking six cans of Coke, I'd take three and three. And I
tried
to make sure, I took three, but I tried to always come back with one still full and not opened. And just a little bit at a time, so I finally got there. But what I want to know, Kevin, I got that Effortless Healing book. Man, is that ever interesting to listen to.
It is.
I'm not all the way through it yet, but what I want some clarity on is the vegetable thing. What kind of vegetables are good to do? And I don't totally understand the ferment process, what to do, the ingredients, that kind of stuff.
Got it. Let's make both of those issues really simple. The way I see vegetables is I know that they get really detailed about, you know, some have more sugar than others, some are you absolutely should get organically, some it doesn't matter. I don't get too bogged down in the details. my thing is, if you look at what the most people used to eat and you start eating vegetables, that is a big enough change. As you progress in this, you might figure out, you know, other ways or better ways. But in the beginning, if you're eating vegetables, that's a good thing. I don't care what they are. Eat the ones that you like. I think that's the most important. Find the vegetables that you look forward to eating and eat those.
Well, I think maybe that I'm part rabbit because I've always been a vegaholic. My grandma started it when I was real little. I eat a salad every day at work. I dropped the ranch and went to a homemade vinegar and olive oil. So that's a little better. But I really like vegetables, and I've had them that way. Grandma used to can them that way, but I don't know how to do it. That's why I was curious is how to do my own.
Got it. I'll make that so easy, right, Kim?
Right. I know. I probably won't do it today.
So good. You've got the vegetable thing down. That was a big challenge for me. I wasn't brought up on vegetables at all, and I didn't really care for them. So in the beginning, it was, you know, vegetables and ranch dressing, anything to get them down. And then I switched to hummus, which, you know, but to me, that was still better. You know, if my choice was some overprocessed snack food or eating vegetables and knowing that the dressing wasn't good for me, and then I would just start eating a little less dressing at a time over time. And then I found hummus. And I'm like, oh, my God, here's something I can dip my vegetables in that I love and it's good for me. So the more I dip, the healthier it is. So
have you tried Sabra Supremely Spicy?
That's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites. Yeah, no question. Fermenting. If you go online, they something that is really simple starts looking like it's complicated only because everybody ends up with their own little version of how to do this. So when you start looking, you go, oh, my God, this woman says I have to use cucumber juice and a starter for my ferment. And then this over here, they say I have to let it sit out for 2 months. And over here, they only say 4 days. And it's overwhelming. You're like, what do you do? Well, the good news is the simplest way I found to do it is just fine. So get started with that way. And if you want to experiment later on, I might try the cucumber juice instead of water later on. Or maybe it was celery. No, it's celery juice.
Celery.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
celery juice. Yeah, so if you want to experiment with that stuff later on, you'll grow into that. But here's the drop-dead simple way to ferment. It works so far for me every time, and I bet I've fermented at least 30 or 40 times already. Here's all it is. Get yourself a quart mason jar. Actually, you could start this with just two. Get two wide-mouth quart mason jars. The recipe for the brine, the way we ferment the vegetables is we cut them up and we put them in a brine. That's it. And brine is really simple. Fill that quart mason jar to the very top with water, distilled or, you know, filtered or spring or whatever you want. The better quality water, the better. But if you had to use tap water, you know what? It'll work. So don't even overthink that part. Fill it up to the very top with water. Put in 2 tablespoons of a good mineral salt. Don't use table salt. Use either a gray salt, a pink salt, a sea salt. 2 tablespoons to 1 quart of water, which we don't even have to measure because that's your mason jar. Dissolve the salt and put your vegetables in the other jar. Pack them in nice and tight. Cut them up however you want them. Big chunks, little chunks, shredded, doesn't matter. Pack them into the jar real tight. Pour the brine into the very top so it's literally overflowing. And then what I do is I take a cabbage leaf, like I as big as I can keep the leaf and still get it in the top, and I make that the very top, like I tuck it in around the top. That makes sure none of your vegetables float up above the brine, because if they can float up above the brine, there's potential that they'll grow some mold. But if you keep that cabbage thing in there as kind of a topper, then top the brine back off, screw on the top. 4 days later, you've got fermented vegetables. Now, two other things. If you can get the little airlock toppers, that really makes it easy. And you can find them online all over the place. If you don't use an airlock on the topper, you should just burp the jar once a day because it'll build up enough pressure, I've heard, to explode the glass. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't want to try it. So you just burp them once a day. And in 4 days, they're fermented and ready to eat. But you could also leave them out with no refrigeration for months. So they're great to carry on the truck because finding fresh produce is one of the challenges. And this is better than fresh. They are actually more nutritious than fresh, and you also get all the good probiotics from the fermentation.
Okay, I've heard you say that to check the pH. Where do you get that pH testing stuff to make sure that it's ready?
Paper? I don't know. Yeah, they're just little paper strips in a roll. I ordered them from the same place I ordered those airlock toppers. And there's actually a couple sites. There's one called pickleme.com that sells those supplies. There is probably some kind of a store that sells pH because pH strips are used for all. You know what you could use? Crazy as it sounds, you could use pool test strips. Pool test strips test pH in the same range.
Oh, okay. And did you say you want it to be 3.7 or below?
4.7 or below is safe. My ferment, okay. And you know what? I only did that for the first couple weeks. I still have the paper with me. I never test anymore. I can always tell by taste, and you see the activity, you see the bubbles, you see all kinds of stuff. And I don't even bother anymore. My ferments usually end up being down around 3 to 3.5 after the fourth day. They'll usually drop below that 4.7 in the first 24 to 36 hours.
Okay, good deal. I'm going to give that a try this weekend, make some.
Yeah, I am loaded up on that stuff right now. Kim, I know earlier you asked for some ideas on what to get started
right.
with.
What to start with.
Do you like dill pickles?
I do.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so garlic dill. Here's a recipe for the best garlic dill pickle you'll ever taste, and it is one of the easiest things to ferment.
Okay,
now, what I'm learning
ready.
Is, yeah, what I'm learning is in the beginning I sliced my cucumbers into rounds because I couldn't find little pickling cucumbers. If you could find little pickling cucumbers, I would leave them whole. But since I had full-size cucumbers, I sliced them into rounds. And my first couple times, I sliced them too thin. And they just didn't have enough body to them for me. They still tasted great. But now I'm doing, like, thick, big slices. Skin on, you know, just wash the skin real well. So same exact idea, except before we start putting the cucumbers into that quart jar, I'm going to put in one big sprig of fresh dill, if you can find it. And if not, use dried dill. It works. It works. It's just not quite as fresh taste. Depending on how much you like garlic, I use four big cloves, and all I do is smash them with my knife, the flat side of my knife. I just smash them, throw the paper away, throw the smashed pieces in the bottom with the dill, pack in the cucumbers, pour in the brine, and in actually, they seem to be ready in about 3 days. They seem to ferment really quick. And in 3 days, you've got some amazing-tasting pickles.
Okay. So, Kevin, tell people again why you like to ferment. What's the benefit of it?
So, we know that vegetables are really good for us in so many ways. And we also know that raw vegetables are the most nutritious. Anytime we heat food, we run the risk, not even the risk, we know we're going to kill something in there. We're going to kill nutrients. We're going to kill bacteria. But a lot of people, raw vegetables just aren't very tasty. And I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't sit around chewing on carrots that's just not good to me. And I've tried to develop the taste, and I just don't. So but I want that nutrition. So I started looking for ways, eating it with the hummus, that's one. But then when I found out about fermenting, what's going to happen, and the reason we're creating or testing the pH, is what's happening is the lactic acid is being developed by the lactobacillus. That's the good bacteria that we want to take over in there. So that's the reason for the salt. The salt creates an environment that lactobacillus loves and thrives in, but the bad bacteria can't grow or live. So we're creating a safe environment from bad bacteria and creating this environment with this lactobacteria, which is what we want, thrives. Now it starts creating lactic acid, and that's what gives us the pickling effect, this slightly tangy, vinegary, but very, very mild compared to traditional, you know, vinegar pickles. So that's why we test the pH to see if the acid is there. The acid starts releasing nutrients out of the vegetables that aren't even available to our body when they're raw. And it makes it easier for our body to absorb a lot of the nutrients and micronutrients that we wouldn't be able to absorb naturally. So just in that sense alone, the fermented vegetable is more nutritious than the raw vegetable. Then the other huge benefit is that good bacteria. That's the
right
probiotic everybody's talking about. When, you know, you can pay $10 for a little bottle of probiotics at the store when all I need is a quart of water and 2 tablespoons of salt and some vegetables. And I'll create like a trillion bacteria in that quart jar. So there's two huge benefits. One, we're getting a healthier than raw vegetable. And two, we're getting it loaded with probiotics.
Yeah, and that's what I'm completely fascinated with that I am looking at, because as soon as you brought that up again, and you were doing fermenting, I think it was a while ago, when we were out in Oregon, and then picked it up again. And so I'm so glad you brought it to the table, per se, and are sharing with us, because you're reading more on the Mercola site and so forth, that, you know, that thing, you know, you heard about probiotics, you know, so, you know, every now and then, but I've never really put a whole lot of thought to it. And, you know, again, it's down to that simple thing about keeping our body moving and working the way it's supposed to. And we can do this added easy, simple thing to not only make our meals more enjoyable by having some fun with some fermenting some vegetables, which I'm going to start with the pickles. I'm going to start with I think we can get some pickling cucumbers around here. So I'm going to start with that one. I believe you had a cabbage coleslaw type recipe too that I'm going to get from you. So,
you know, yeah, another one that I just did the other day that was just, I just tasted them this morning for the first time. And this is one of my favorites right now. I did I was at Whole Foods and they had the rainbow carrots, the rainbow baby carrots, like purple and orange and yellow, and they're just beautiful looking. And I always see those. And in my old life, I would buy them every time I went to the store. And 2 weeks later, I would throw them away because I never eat them. I don't like carrots. But I would see them and I'm like, oh my God, those are gorgeous. I better start eating carrots. And every time I throw them away and think, you idiot, those things are so expensive and you keep buying them and throwing them away, saying you're going to eat them. Now I know how to eat them. I run the carrots through a food processor to shred them, and then I shred cabbage. I throw some garlic in there, leeks. I mean, any onions, whatever. Onions you have to be a little careful of when you're fermenting. They get really, really strong. Leeks and garlic seem to do much better. So I shredded the rainbow carrots, green cabbage, and a leek. And it is beautiful in this jar. All these different colors, and it's just gorgeous. And the flavor is amazing. And I don't like carrots. The other thing is I threw them on a salad the other day. I just took like big spoonfuls of it and put it on my salad. It changes the salad, makes it really good. You'd never guess there was carrots in it if you don't like carrots. And you'd never guess there was anything in it fermented. It had no pickled taste whatsoever. You know, I had a vinaigrette on it, So it actually all it's doing is adding a little bit of, you know, acid to the vinaigrette. So
Right. That's
a great way to eat them if you find that you don't like the taste of the fermented vegetables in the beginning.
Okay. I'll have to give that a shot. I'm going to ask one more thing before. I'm going to pick up one more call here with Tom as we're heading into MAPS here in a couple weeks. But can you ferment in plastic? I know you're talking about quart-sized mason jars. What about plastic? And I'm thinking, is that an issue? Is that an issue for people?
I don't think I would. Well, no, because here's the thing. I have all my glass mason jars with me, and like I said, I'm making sure that even though I have all this room in the RV, I'm doing things that I can do in the truck itself. So
Yeah. One
of the easiest ways to do this with the airlocks and everything is I took a plastic bin, and I actually got one of the smaller ones. So 2 quart mason jars fit in there at a time. And then I just pack it with hand towels. So I put my mason jars in there with the airlocks on them, pack it with the hand towels, put a lid on it, and then stick it away somewhere. Because the ferment will overflow those airlocks, especially when you do shredded vegetables. It gets so, you know, you get so much action going on in there, it'll blow right out through the overflow on the airlock. But so the towels just, you know, absorbed it all, and there wasn't a ton. But I had, I brought those carrots and stuff with me on, I made them Tuesday morning early, and I tried them this morning, and they were so good, I just stuck them in the refrigerator now. They don't need any more time.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think it's something.
If you don't have the refrigerator space, you could leave them out, because honestly, a quart of those carrots isn't going to make it a week with me. So you can leave them out.
Love,
they don't need refrigeration. They'll stay out for months.
I would love to see people. I would challenge you guys to try this, because I'm going to post some pictures out there and see what everybody's doing. How fun to get some flavor and some good stuff in us. Easy on the road. So, let's go to Tom, because again, we got MAPS coming up in 2 weeks here, and they're again, this community of people that are really saying, you know, collectively we care about each other's health is just branching out, and it's amazing what is going on. There's kind of a movement happening, and we're happy to be a part of it here at Let's Truck. So I'm going to bring Tom on here, and Tom, we got about 3 or 4 minutes. I shared a little bit about the beginning of what you and Linda have brought to everybody. And so, Tom, I welcome you so much. And I'd love to have you share with everybody what they can come and search you guys out at MAPS and what they can enjoy.
Thank you very much, Kim. Quick question for you, Kevin. You said you're using an induction burner. Are you using a regular inverter or a pure sine wave inverter?
I have a pure sine wave, but I don't think that's critical for an induction cooktop that I'm aware of. Most of the research I did on pure sine wave.
I've heard it actually is.
Okay. Oh, really?
So that's
why
I was asking. I've actually heard you'll fry it if you don't have one. Not the inverter, but the induction cooktop.
That could be. I guess it's a good thing I had a pure sine wave, and I got it for the electronic issue. I wasn't even thinking about the cooktop, but you could be right.
Yeah, and like I'm trying to get 100% confirmation on that, but I have heard that evidently it's so digital inside there that it just
that could,
literally scrambles its little electronic mind.
That could be. I mean, that is here's the other thing. You know, the warnings about, you know, only using pure sine wave and that, even for electronics, it doesn't mean that the first time you plug something in, you're going to screw it all up. It just means that it's better. I mean, a modified sine wave would probably do okay for a while. I don't know. So, and I don't want anybody to go buy an expensive cooktop and screw it all up, but maybe I'll test that. Maybe I'll get a cheap inverter and run the induction cooktop for a while and see what happens.
Well, I know with some of the heating pads, as odd as it sounds, I bought a heating pad one day. It didn't turn on at all. I called the company and it says, you have to have a pure sine wave inverter.
Well, maybe there are some devices like that are more sensitive than I thought. I'm glad you brought that up.
So, yeah, and like I said, I'm trying to get 100% confirmation myself. As to what, and this is actually, brings up a great point. Really what Linda Caffey and I are doing a few different things, but the big thing that we're talking about today is the Cooking in the Truck Summit, which is going to be at the Freightliner Hospitality Trailer. They were gracious enough to let us host it there. And it's basically just going to be a place for everybody to come and talk a little bit about some of the various cooking groups and other resources that are out there that we're part of, to share some of the tips and tricks, you know, lessons that we've learned and things like that, but also to try to figure out how we can maybe get some of the truck stops or other companies more involved in this getting healthy movement. And the one thing I want everybody to be, Linda and I really want everybody to be clear on, this is not a for somebody to come and try to sell their product or their way of life. It's just to exchange information. There's no right way or wrong way to cook. If you cook healthy
right.
meals, great. If your idea of cooking is opening up a can, you're more than welcome to. Maybe you'll learn something new, and maybe even some of us who maybe don't normally do that might learn a trick from you. So it's one of those things. It's all abilities. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's just working together to try to promote cooking. Because what you fix in the truck, even if it's a can of soup, it's probably healthier than what you're going to get in the truck stop, because you can at least read the back of the label and pick a healthier soup. So that's really
good point.
The first thing we want to encourage everybody is, it's a start. You know, it's like we keep saying tonight, all the stuff, you got to start someplace. Well, eating a can of soup is a starting point.
Yeah, good point.
Also, Linda and I have been working on the last year for a cookbook. The electronic version is going to be available. Stop by the Freightliner booth, the Team Run Smart section. There'll be information there how to get it. A bunch of people have contributed to it. Some of the other people who work for Team Run Smart, various other drivers, Lindsay Lawler even has a recipe in there. So this has really been a large community effort to try and encourage drivers to cook on the truck. The recipes have a healthier focus. I'm not going to say all of them are healthy, but they have a healthier focus. And then the last thing that I'm directly involved in is the Trucking Solutions Group is having our annual health walk. It's going to leave Thursday night, 7 o'clock, from the Oida station, the Papa John's lot. We're going to walk over to Churchill Gent Downs, take a couple of pictures, and walk back. It's a nice, easy, relaxing sidewalk. It's not a race. It's just, you know, to get out, drivers, and show, hey, it's not as hard as you think to get active. And it's just a way to have fun and meet some new people. We've had some various celebrities choose to go on in the past. I know Ann Farrow and Todd Spencer actually walked almost side by side one year. And no, there was no fight. But these are some of the people that have actually shown up on the health walks to walk with the drivers. And it's what we call a destination walk. Everyone is welcome. It's going to be a nice, relaxing pace. Like I said, it's not a race. And then the other two things that are rolling out at Mass this year, well, I'm not directly involved, Jeannie Lennox and her Heart Smart Highway Trailer are going to be doing some events at the Papa John's lot. I think they're doing green smoothies Thursday morning, and they have a little mini concert from a friend of hers on Saturday night. And then the truckdrivershealth.org is rolling out a new health awareness program. They're going to have a trailer in the PKY lot showing an old abused show truck that they're getting ready to restore back to its original condition. And then they're also going to have various other drivers there talking some about their health journey. I'm pretty sure Georgia Wendy Parker will be there at different times at the booth talking about some of the stuff that they've learned from their time on the road. So there's a lot of health stuff going on at Mass this year.
Hey, let me add one. And I just came up with this idea. Saturday afternoon, we are going to be broadcasting live the Saturday show, the three-hour show. So it starts, we're on East Coast in Louisville, right? East Coast time. So we'll be starting the show at 4. We finish at 7. So after 7, I know it's getting a little late and things are over, but there's still a lot of people around. After 7 at my trailer, I will be doing some fermenting demonstrations, and I'll be giving tastings. I'll have a bunch of fermented vegetables, and people can buy and taste them all if they want.
That's awesome.
I'll definitely be there unless Murphy comes to visit me. I will be there, Kevin. Kevin, I wanted to love that, and I would also love to have you show up at the cooking in the Truck Summit and talk a little bit about what you're doing with the fermenting. We'd love to have you there as well.
Let me see if I can make that happen. Thanks for the invitation.
You're very welcome. And Kim, if you're going to be at Mass, you're more than welcome to come as well.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I will not be at Mass this year. So hopefully, maybe GATS. I know you guys are doing some special things at GATS. So that'll be here before we know it. But thank you so much for the invite. I'll miss you guys. I'll get to meet you in person soon.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on. And
Thank you.
And from what I've heard, I should be able to start talking about what's going on at GATS probably soon after Mass. I'll have the final confirmation where I can actually start giving some details.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, we'll hear more about this again next week as well, too, because there's so many great things happening at Mass with you guys that are putting your heart and soul behind helping everybody get healthy. So thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on, Kim, and thank you very much as well, Kevin, for your input.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend, Tom. Okay, Kevin, another great show. I just so appreciate you being here, and I just love where this is going, where we're just sharing some great information with everybody. So with that.
Thanks for having me, and it's time for me to hit the road. I am heading to Williams, Arizona, and I'm going to be staying at an RV park that we just love there. It's right by the – it's actually part of the Grand Canyon Railroad. So this is where you would get on the train that takes you up to the Grand Canyon. They have a nice little RV park there, and just a good place for me and Diesel to spend the weekend. So I've got a, you know, good place to do the show over the weekend. So I'll be on I-40 here in a couple minutes heading that way, and it's only – at my speed, it's about 5 hours. So I'll be there later tonight, and I'll spend the rest of the weekend there.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, be safe driving. And again, thanks so much, Kevin, for being on. We will talk
thanks
soon.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon. All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. You too. Bye. Okay, you guys, thank you again so much for joining us. I wanted to add to be sure if you're not getting text notifications of all of the shows on the Audio Road Network, text listen to 99000. Okay? Again, it's listen to 99000. What's so nice about that is then you can just click right on the number and it'll bring you right into the show. So with that, I know we've gone longer these shows anymore, and I absolutely love it. So I just appreciate you hanging with us and going for this ride with us. And so look for us on Twitter, Let's Truck Health, Facebook, go to the Destination Health Facebook page. And again, I hope you just learned something new today. It fed your determination and resolve that the whole you is right within your reach. You're there just even being here today. So thank you for your time. You really matter to us. Your health matters to us. And until next week, keep moving. Be committed to you. Be a leader out there on the roads and at home in this health journey. And be healthy. Be fit. Do the hard work. Master and enjoy this journey to health. I appreciate you guys. You have a great weekend. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.